listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Pareteal Hardcore Radio. How's it, baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt. I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose. I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers. I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers. Come one, come all. Because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yes, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. Yes, I am the Venomous Vigilante V. And I've got to tell you guys, my style might seem a little different tonight. I don't know if anybody will notice, but, you know, I got a little bit of a Russian standard here with me. And try my best to make it through the pain. See, with all this coronavirus stuff, you know, getting my prescriptions, things like that, it's not happening. So it's like I've got to sit here and suffer, and I'm suffering. For those of you who don't know about my previous condition, I am a target individual. I am someone who has had the NSA beam nonstop kill commands into my head for years. I was supposed to be a mass shooter, okay? I am a targeted individual. Now, the damages, even before breaking the PSYOP and refusing to do what these people have wanted me to do, I have been subjugated to the radiation, the beaming, and when you have that sort of thing, like, I'm a heat casualty now. I get hot very easily. I have abnormal bone structures down my spine, because these people used to zap the hell out of me. They used to torture the hell out of me. Zapping my spine, having electrical surges go up my spine, up to my brain, trying to keep me from sleeping, trying to push me into an angered and paranoid state, to have me on edge. You know, much like the rest of these false flag shooters do. Yeah, I was in the same program. But I, having withstood the program much longer, way longer than the other shooters, I have now physical abnormalities from it. Again, I have strange bone structures that, you know, the doctors here, they tell me, you know, you've got very sharp bones now. There's so much bone growth. Your bones are sharp. No wonder your nerves are killing you. It's a miracle that, you know, I'm able to even stand up. You know, they've done tests, they can't tell me of any genetic abnormalities I may have, any genetic bone disease, anything like that. There's no sign of it. But yeah, I have these structures. And something that a lot of people don't know, even most biologists don't know, that when you subjugate a living being with a constant current of energy, constant current electricity, their bones start to calcify. They start to layer over. Now, the government wants to do this whole target individual stuff with this remote weapon warfare, and target individuals have lost all hope of getting any help for this, getting any information out about this, because it's supposed to be the fingerprintless crime. No, that's false. There's, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Okay? There's, the evidence is there. You just gotta know where to look for it. You know, I did my documentaries. I've been doing my radio show to try to expose this information. Yeah, I'm a little PO'd right now. Because I have to live in a state of perpetual pain because of what the federal government has done to me. The shadow government, rogue, treasonous agencies. Yes, it's not fun. It's not fun to be me. I wouldn't wish my situation on most people. I most definitely wish it back on my enemy. But as far as this, you know, it's like having the brand, a brand on you, a curse mark. It's not going away, but damn it, I'm not going to let it, you know, destroy me. It's definitely going to serve as a reminder for me to not rest on my laurels, because all this pain I got, I'm inflicting it right back to the source. So I don't give crap without, you know, for no reason. I don't take it without giving it back. So, people, yes, I am here with you tonight, and I do have my co-host here, Will Turbot from Demand the Truth.
Hey, V, man. Sorry to hear that you're going through this, dude.
Well, somebody's got to. And I guess I'm one of the chosen few. So, but I'm glad to have you by my side. You know, at this point, I'm tempted to call you my number one. You know, number one, engage, warp 7. Because, you know, you're always a mile a minute in what things, you know, that you're doing. I love having you on the show.
Well, brother. me and you got the heart of Rudy.
I know.
Hey, Jayma, welcome. Yeah.
Jayma's also joining us here. Jayma Batal, Phoenix Fire. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Will.
No, I was just saying, we both got the heart of Rudy, but you actually have, like, the frame of, like, a tight end or wide receiver, and I'm just, like, actually have the body of Rudy. But we both got that same heart, and we're both out there on the same playing field, so.
Whoa, what pictures have you seen of me? I'm a fullback.
Okay, yeah, that's actually a better description. Yeah, fullback. Exactly. Power and tip line. Hell yeah.
Well, you know, if I have a tight end, if I have a tight end, it's because I don't like to let anybody screw me. So, but anyhow, you have brought a guest on for us to interview tonight. So I'll go ahead and let you bring him on.
Sure, yes. Yeah, so I believe we have Mr. Thomas Althaus with us, and he is a writer. He wrote a story, The Immortals. And basically, Warner Brothers and the Wachowskis ripped it off. And, well, I don't want to give away the whole story. Thomas, are you there with us, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening in.
Great. Welcome to the show. And this guy's got a lot of information, so let's make sure this is an hour-long show. Let's make sure we got a couple of breaks in here, too. So let's make sure we get all the most important things going, but why don't you start maybe a little bit about yourself, and then we can begin really wherever you want, because you are a writer and you like to talk in layers, so we can pick up wherever you want. But give us a little bit about yourself, though, first.
Okay, I'm formerly a father of four, but now I'm a father of basically one. Basically, I've been gang-stalked. I've had those commission things. I'm a writer, producer, performer. And it seemed like for a long time, everything I wrote just took off. Whatever I did seemed to get an award. Everything was just peachy keen. And then it caught the interest of Bonaventura from Warner Brothers, my one screenplay that I wrote when I was coming out of Pat Robertson's organization. And he asked me to pitch it in full to him. And he still says on LinkedIn today that he, you know, discovered and shepherded the Matrix story and is one of the few that understands it. And that's true, because right from the get-go in 93, I pitched it in full to him and explained every one of his questions. And basically, that's how I started out. And I thought, you know, when you pitch a script to someone like that, it's such a high up in an organization like Warner Brothers. I figure you've made it. You know, you celebrate. You think it's a one in a million shot that just came through. And so friends of mine did celebrate. We had no idea, forgot that, you know, or didn't know that he was actually had a penchant for saving writers' careers. And so there became this bidding war in Hollywood on who's going to take it, and they finally gave it to Wachowskis. And now they're making Matrix 4 as we speak.
Now, I want to go ahead and say that people... Look, I don't know you well enough. I'm just not hearing right. about you. I'm not going to take a side. I'm not going to take your side. I'm not going to take anybody's side. But what I will say, as of right now, this stuff happens. Now, everybody hears that, oh, Hollywood steals scripts all the time. But it goes deeper than that. Not only do they steal people's scripts, but they do it especially to those whom they don't think they can control. They steal them from those right. people who they don't want to have money. Because this is the Illuminatards. This is a club for invite only sort of a thing. So if you do right. come up with something, these people will take it from you. And if you even have a thought of becoming vocal about it, they will start destroying your life, professional, personal. They'll do everything they can to take your home from you, financially destroy you, and they will drive you into suicide, or unless, you know, sometimes even murder to keep you quiet. These people want to steal from you and make money off your ideas. They're going to. They do it to lots of people. Lots of people right. all the time.
Right.
So I don't doubt your story.
I've never heard anyone explain it that well. I got to tell you, after all the interviews I've done, I have never heard a host explain it that well. That is exactly what happens. You nutshelled it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't want to steal your thunder. Please tell us.
No, I'm glad you have the thunder. That was amazing. That's exactly what happens. I mean, there's so many ways to respond to that, including, yeah, they do court you. They do court you. If they think you have the chops, they will invite you in, tell you you're one of the elite now, offer you positions, and they tell you not to try to help others, not to get involved, not to try to make a difference. And that has happened a number of times in my life. And I kept taking the road of, I do want to make a difference. I want to help others. And it got to a point where it was ludicrous what they did. I mean, I have two murdered sons. My wife's in bed with Mike Lang, Harvey Weinstein's boss. We have the emails from him to her on my birthday when my last surviving son lost his mom. And I'm told by contacts, which I have recorded on tape, you hear them say, people are just doing their jobs and they pull up and idle in front of your house. The things they're doing when they break in the home is to let you know they can get to your last surviving son. It's supposed to make you not go forward and share the truth. And yet my son and I decided, my last surviving one and I decided we were going to do that. And if you ever get a chance, you go to redpillrising.org, redpillrising.org, one word, you'll see the inserts that were done in Matrix, Animatrix. So they have my exact, like my high school, my birthday, my dad's name, my name, a clock face with my exact birthday on it, and my age in red. That's on redpillrising.org. It cannot be refuted. And therefore, there it is, the stuff that Wachowski's put in, because they knew there's nothing I could do about it. And a lot of people don't realize that if you are a targeted individual as a writer, you can tell which writers are ripped off, because you're going to see an attrition factor. You're going to see dead sons. You're going to see wives taken. You're going to see jobs destroyed. You're going to see them broken, where they don't have time to pursue legalities. They're going to make sure your life is hell, that you're living your life is worse than if you had a death. And then they'll broadcast that you're going to suicide. And if you don't do it, they'll do it for you. So, well said.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if you are, I'm not saying that you're not, but if you are the original writer of The Matrix, well, you have influenced and changed the world a lot. The name of my show is derived from your very concept. I'm honored.
Well, thank you. If you go to redpillrising.org, you will see the certified gold-sealed bolted script with the director and the copyright specialist of the Copyright Office on it, U.S. Copyright Office. You also see the date on the bottom of it, where it is the rendition of mine that was done in 1998 that precedes the Matrix, so it can't be refuted. It has 190 matchups, including Jack's the Neck, the Squiddies, Little Girl at the Train Station, identical figures at the end, palms bleeding, pointing to the sun, pulse wave coming out, turn the earth green, little girl renewed to life, the underground key that turns, that blows the devices, robot-like agents that flick their eyes to the left and receiving orders. You're going to see all that in there and more, including the liquid mirrors, where if you take the red pill, yes, the red pill, then you can live in the immortal program with the architect, and you can pass through the liquid mirrors. What the Wachowskis did was cheapen everything. They lifted every image they thought was cool so they can get credit for it. That's what they did, and ripped out the spine of the story. But if you go to redpillrising.org, you will see it certified there, no doubt about it. 1998 rendition preceding The Matrix, which I'm told by attorneys was on set when they shot it. What the Wachowskis did was use the script that I had, The Immortals, and then they held a 600-page storyboard where they lifted all the images they thought were cool out of context and thought they could create the work from that. That is why they had the big debate at the end on how to finish the film. And they claim in articles that fans will note that they argued that everybody said to blow up The Matrix. You would not have that debate if you had a finished script that you were working from that was set and done and copyrighted. Well, they had mine. And so a debate ensued on how to wrap up The Matrix. And they said, everyone said blow it up. That's in articles. And they kept my exact ending instead, which you'll see in The Immortals, which is the train station scene. A family pushing, many families pushing their kids forward. They cheapened the budget to make it less costly for the suits at Warner Brothers. That was one of the things they did. So many people pushing their kids forward for a better life. There's a little girl being pushed forward at the train station. Identical figures facing off at the end. Into the greater goes the one after the one's palms bleed. Pulse wave comes out, turns the earth green on the little girl that was at the train station. The daughter of Neo, which was supposed to keep that relationship, is restored, hugs him, and points to the sun. That is the ending they kept. That is the ending I have. That's the ending that precedes their work. That's the ending that's shown as preceding their work. And they didn't make sense of it. They kept my exact ending. They shouldn't have. So we've got them. When we get a fair process in court, we'll get them. First go around, we had no due process. We had no day in court. Now we will. We also know now that if we make the film as exactly as written, as shown on Red Pill Rising, you'll see some of the scenes there. If it's made exactly as it is, and Warner Brothers puts an injunction on us, then we just proved them wrong. They proved us right. We win our case. If they don't put an injunction on us and make the film exactly as it is, then people can come with a checklist and see everything from liquid mirrors, red pill, blue pill, you name it, scrolling green blimps, underground, the last people holding out there, the tunnelers, everything is there, including the monitors, the room of monitors and everything. Then we've got them also, because people will see even one similarity, such as the Jack's in the Neck, which is in my story, preceding Matrix. We win. So we have the key now to making a difference in our world, and that is why Hollywood is collapsing right now. But my family paid a heavy price. Two murdered sons, and I'm told they're murdered. And as you probably do know, they tell you. They let you know. They'll answer your questions. And that may seem odd to audience members, but they do answer your questions, because if you go forward and talk about it, you'll be deemed crazy, and that's part of their goals. But if you get to the point where I am right now, as you are, that you made it through to this point, then people start to listen. Now it's a problem. Now Disney calls me the library. Contacts call me the library. Because I asked all those questions when I was losing everything. Because I had a vague hope that someday, maybe, I would be taken serious. Maybe someday, I'd be able to articulate the cause and proof. And people would use critical thinking and see the evidence. I'm being trolled to death. But if you go to redpillrising.org, you will see these entries. There's a lot more. And if you do get a chance, I'll even walk through with the audience what's on there. But thank you for having me on.
Okay, you know, Mike, can we skip the breaks for this episode? This is wow, this is amazing. I want to play.
And you know what, here. It's interesting too, because he also has a connection to, you know, we briefly talked about Disney, but Pat Robertson as well, and mm-hmm. It's a very interesting connection that I think we should discuss as well. I don't know where you really want to pick up, but we definitely got to cover that as well.
Right, because that is also the genesis of the material. It really begins with Robertson's organization. If you want to know what the genesis of the Matrix story is, it's like Shakespeare in Love. You draw from your real-life experiences. It comes from that experience.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of people who are willing to lose so much as much as that you've lost, as much heartache as you've had, and pursuing a lie. I mean, there are always those crazy people out there. Oh, well, you know, maybe I can get credit for this. I wrote something similar, or I wrote a science fiction thing, and it should have been the movie. So maybe I'll just try to take credit for this one. And you know, you have those crazy people, but they don't take it that far. They get a slap on the hand. You know, usually the people who really are frauds will be taken to court immediately and told to shut the hell up. But for those who they actually do steal from, they don't want you anywhere near court. They don't want you anywhere near any source of information going in and out. They just destroy your life. So that actually adds credibility to your story here. That's a great amount of credibility. So there had to be some psychological there had to be some real thinking about the brothers who are now sisters,
right?
They went through some things because of this, and is heavily psychological, and it's very twisted. So I would like to hear your insight on what happened with them because of the situation.
Well, they're being punished, more or less. I mean, the Wachowskis are no friends of mine, that's for sure. They did a disservice to me and my last surviving son. That's all I left to my family. But the thing is that they also did something where they broke the rules at Warner Brothers. If you look at the site at some point, you'll see that copyright entries are entered for my title, The Immortals. And you'll also see that on those copyright entries listed on that page, they can't be faked. They're from the Copyright Office. You'll see Dino Laurentiis and Paradise Film, Dino Laurentiis Film Company, claiming ownership of The Immortals title, no body of work. And then they have 342 other titles attached to it, no body of work. As explained to me, that means that anybody, any studio that has their take on my work, The Immortals, if something happens to me and my last son, they simply put their rendition into the slot at the Copyright Office of an insider. That's why the director and that specialist stepped in and helped me and gave me that gold sealed script that proves it. That was going to be switched for 8 pages of scribbled notes, we were told, so we beat them to the punch with the director and specialist help of the Copyright Office. So it can't be refuted now. But those 346 titles, if you are selected to steal the work at a particular studio, say Universal or Lionsgate, then your stealing party, which usually are people that failed, that would be loyal to your company. That's why the Wachowskis were wined and dined by Dino Laurentiis, promised beautiful women, fame, fortune. You know, they didn't have a body of work. They had Plastic Man and Carnivore, which were B-movies, but no body of work. They had failed as writers. They had failed as painters. Their mom even says they dropped out of school. Their mom says all they did was play video games. So why would Dino Laurentiis wine and dine them? And they get instant mansions in Hollywood in 95, you know, or just preceding. Why? But the thing is, they're looking for candidates to take. Robertson does the same thing. He's not looking for smart people. He's looking for loyal people, right, that'll do anything that he wants and won't have a problem. They call it freezer, like you freeze all emotions, compassion. So the Wachowskis broke the rules. What they did was they were given the work, finally, by Joel Silver saying, okay, Suits, say Warner Brothers, we'll give them an audition piece, they called it. We'll see if they can direct Bound. And keep in mind that in articles, the Wachowskis are cited as saying, basically in 95, when they failed as assassins, another writer had to be brought in, that made them angry at Warner Brothers. They tried to get out of Warner Brothers. This is all documented. It's all in articles. So they won out of Warner Brothers. They go all the way to Writer Guild East. And they said, Writer Guild says you have to stay there. You can't break the contract. So that's when Joel Silver steps in, who's listed by Teresa Wayne at the copyright or story department of Warner Brothers, as entering the Immortal story or Matrix story. It doesn't have a title, Matrix at the time. It's called Science Project in 1994.
But yet now the cover story is that he first saw the work in 1995 from the Wachowskis, but he actually showed the work. He entered the work in 1994 after getting it from Bonaventura. The Immortals title, you see it always copyrighted there with all those different subtitles from Dino Laurentiis. So he gets the work and gives it to Wachowskis to save their career. But first he's told by the suits they have to audition them to see if they can at least direct. And the article, the writers, Wachowskis are quoted as saying, "We have to pack our bags and leave Hollywood. We failed as writers. The only way we'll make it is if we direct a piece." Another article that fans may notice, they're told, you know, "Well, what's next?" They said, "Well, we have Plastic Man and Carnivore." In the transcript, you'll see a pause. It says, "We're hoping to be given a science project." Now, that's in 1995. If they had Matrix actually written, they would have said Matrix. They don't. They call it the science project. They don't have any work. Thea Bloom, Larry's former wife, in the divorce hearing in 1995 and in 2003, actually, said that when they were given the project to write in 95, not 93, when I submitted, that the Wachowskis changed their testimony twice to claim predating to try to say sometime in 93 they had the Matrix totally written. They didn't. So what happens is the Wachowskis are trying to save their career, and they do a big mistake, an important mistake, or a slap in the face of Warner Brothers. They get back at them. They play a leverage card. And that's what you see in redpillrising.org. If you go there at some point, or audience members look at redpillrising.org, you're going to see my high school, Central West High. You'll see my name, Thomas A. You'll see my birthday is listed in 1996 records when the 1990 graphic was installed, July 22nd. You're going to see my dad's name, John A. You're going to see the city that I used for my setting, Washington, D.C., changed the capital city. You're going to see in the column TA-4099. TA was 4099. So all that is there, including Michelle McGahey, the art director, and Owen Patterson, the production manager, listed as the one school. Michelle McGahey, the art director, listed as Neo's mom. That completes the joke. Anderson is my Scottish clan name. So what happens is they took all this information in the first graphic shot in the Matrix, stuck it in upside down. They broke the rules. Yes, they're being punished now. There's discussion they could be taken out after they let them rip off Matrix 4. They're working on a timeline. They're also in the story, like they put me in the story now. So that's why Neo has two names, Thomas A. Anderson and Neo, because of me.
Which is your name?
Then if you go to, that's my name. And then if you go to the Animatrix, you're going to see a clock filling the screen in Animatrix. It's on again, Red Pill Rising. The black hands point to a 7. The black hands point to a 2. The black hands point to 1 degree before the 60. My birthday is 7/2/59. You cannot call it a coincidence, yet their attorneys and their trolls are trying to. So what you have then is a red hand pointing to 4 past the 4, 4 points past the 4, the red hand. I was 44 in 2003. The contact that informed me that this was all there from the story department, who wanted to remain anonymous and says he'll come forward when we win or make the film, said that Larry was obsessed by my age, because during the pitch session with Bonaventura, I told him I don't give out my age, because at the time, actors like an age range. That way you're not limited by directors in their mind. They can play you different ways. And that worked and serviced well. Now I don't care. But that's why in the first graphic ever shot in The Matrix, which Wachowskis say, they're going to insert all kinds of things. The audiences will never know why they're there, but they have a meaning to them. Susanna Bolton, the art director, in the article she did with the New Zealand Herald, I think it was, said that anything in for a split second is for the Wachowskis' eyes only. That's in for a split second upside down. It's the first graphic rendered interrogation scene. So that was very important to the Wachowskis. What's in there? My high school, my birthday, my dad's name, my name, and more. And so in the Animatrix, when they use up the rest of the story, they do it again. The clock face is 7/2/59 in black hands, 4 past the 4 in red, 44 in 2003, also, a red hand pointing to a 4, the insider told me, means you're going to be taken out, assassinated, because the Wachowskis wanted me dead. They do not want to look over their shoulder. They made billions off, they made all this money off this work, and they want me dead. But the problem is, they're in trouble too. They stuck these graphics in, now it's common knowledge. Also, they went further. They did not pick one of the titles out of those 342 plus titles under the Immortals entry. If they had, Warner Brothers could have stuck it in the slot that they took for the Immortals and put a script in it. But since the Wachowskis went off page and didn't pick one of those 342 titles to slap their face, they have now gone against the cartel.
So I wouldn't be surprised if I end up dead, the Wachowskis will end up dead too.
Well, okay, so, but the sex change. The sex
change. That's a punishment for Andy. A punishment for Andy. Larry wanted to do it, but Andy didn't. And you can tell, too, besides being told so, Andy slaps on a black dress without any makeup. Just slaps on a wig and a black dress. That's a dude wearing a dress because he's told to. If he actually wanted to be a woman or to be transgender, he would make it up. He would, you know, look good. He would try to make himself look good and celebrate being a woman. In fact, in an interview recently, he was asked, "You must be happy now," or something along that line. He said, "No, he's not. He's being punished because he broke the rules. But Warner Bros. Can't go against them because they stole all this stuff." So any
well,
not
and
happy,
also, well, I'm sorry, but also, I mean, for people who have supposedly came up with the Matrix and then they do something like this, becomes transgendered, that says to me, well, here's plausible deniability that, we didn't know these people were crazy. And so
right.
If something comes out that they did steal your script, you know, these two people are whack bags, and we don't really blame anybody, and no one gets any sympathy, and still no one takes your side.
Have you ever seen the interview of Bound that's still online with Larry Wachowski and Andy talking about Bound? If you watch that interview, you can still find it just by searching on YouTube. No, I guess it is. It's they're interviewed after doing Bound, but listen to how they talk. It's amazing. It's interesting that trolls right there's a particular troll right now going on that's trying to say I'm talking from a script. I wouldn't have the time to write a script. I'm trying to look after my last son's life and things and do all these interviews. There wouldn't be time to write a script to read off of the people on an interview because you're going to go different directions on questions. But that's one of their talking points. The reason they're using that talking point or accusation is because Larry reads from a script. See, he cannot freeform it. And one of the things I've been asking is at some point I want an interview where Larry and I appear sometime. And we'll discuss my baby. We'll discuss the work, where the train station scene comes from in history, where the architect comes from in history, how you balance the equation, what does it mean at the ending, why is the little girl, I mean, why is the train station scene integral to the satisfying ending at the end? In their fan page, they say the little girl at the train station is just a subplot. The little girl at the train station is written by a writer who's trying to unite his family after it's been ripped away from him by Pat Robertson's organization. That's why the script's being written. And I have a lot of passion in that. And so that's what they took from me, too. And at the end, the little girl is pointing to the son hugging her daddy, Neo, Thomas A., and pointing to the man that rescued her from the fire. Because, yes, Smith, the Neo character has to use Smith's memories. The jacked in, he loses his own because it's diseased by the architect in mind. And so he uses a shard of glass to rip out the Smith's enhancer of the memories. Chip and have to use that instead. So now he's living and feeling everything that Smith felt, including the elation when he attacked his family in the earlier scenes that he didn't use, we'll probably use in Matrix 4. But that's why they used an Elysium. So the thing is that's what's supposed to happen. So can you imagine looking for the dome and you're using the memories of the man who raped your wife, basically, burned your daughter, basically, alive, and you're using the memories of his excitement and happiness over doing that while they suffer. But that's what you have to access to use find memories that you're not even sure what you're looking for. And in my screenplay, that's why the Trinity character is going with him, holding his hand as they're going for the dome, because he's suffering those memories. Now, the Wachowskis show him suffering, but they don't show what he's suffering from. Everything is stripped and simplified. They ripped the spine out of the work, and now we're putting it back in. So all those matchups are going back in. We just need one to win our case when we get an actual due process.
Well, and see, I was going to sort of dive into that. Firstly, I will say that there are three people who wanted to come onto my show with a script. And these three people have never made it to my show because I don't do a script.
Right.
And secondly, there is so much, and I've seen this happen. I've heard of this happening. I've read about this happening. You know, they have a script that they have read, and it can be a copyright to hell. It can be, you know, notarized copyrighted. It can be, you know, whatever legal you can throw onto it, trademarking, right, characters, and all they got to do is change a few things in that script, and it's not your That's script right. anymore.
That's right. How or much, what's being the done?
Percentage on that? Like, change 5, 10%, 20%, and then there's another script?
Yeah. It's what's crazy is the Wachowskis, when they ripped off Matrix 1, they thought they could get away with it, using Jack's neck and everything else, right? And that's why Sophia Stewart was used to come in immediately after my situation was announced. She called me immediately that very night. And she said, "You are Matrix. I'm Matrix One, Tom. You're the missing link. You're 2 and 3." Now, the reason she said that is she's out of USC. She was supplied by Warner Brothers to be somebody to influence me. And so she called me right away. And now what she was saying was, first out of her mouth is, "You claim Matrix 2 and 3. I claim Matrix 1." That's what they used to throw the initial case. They're saying that the attorney supplied me too said, "You don't claim Matrix 1." I kept wanting to. So the argument they used for summary judgment, we don't get our day in court, is that since you didn't claim Matrix 1, which I was forced to by my attorney, since you didn't claim Matrix 1, you can't claim the similarities in 2 and 3, so no similarity. What? What? So that's how they threw it. But you got Jack the Neck alone wins it. And it predates by that specialist and director of the copyright office showing me these things. Plus you got those entered entries at the copyright office of the Immortals title with Gina Laurentiis, Paradise Films, and then it switched over to the two biggest investment firms in our world claim ownership and creation of the Immortal story. And that's what's being used even now as a copyright slot that they can use. And they use subtitles like titles you could use, Army of Darkness, Hitler, different things like this, so that they actually stack what people might choose to use for their stolen work. Disney's in on it. Mike Lang was a strategist put in place by Michael Eisner with Harvey Weinstein to rip my family off. In fact, besides Disney calling me the library, you can look at the Variety article that talks about Mike Lang exiting Miramax Films when I came forward in 2012. And what's interesting is it says about the New Jersey warehouse where the hard copy scripts of the early 90s are there, and they call it the Disney Library. They were valued around $800 million. And they're saying that they're trying to figure out a strategy. Mike Lang's job is to figure out a strategy to get acquisition of that work. That strategy, as informants tell me now, is that the authors die and you simply slip it into the copyright office, slots pre-planned and prepared under the title with no body of work. That's how they do it.
My friend, I do believe you. It's unprofessional for me to say that. I'm supposed to just be a host and present the evidence and ask the questions. But I do believe you. And I believe you.
That's
to
the greatest
extent,
phrase. That's the greatest phrase an author can hear who's ripped off. In fact, that's a test you can use on authors. If they claim their work was stolen, say that phrase to them. I believe you. It has an emotional response because, you, as you know, you go through a gauntlet. You suffer the attrition. A writer
as a target individual, I know how these things are working. And I do know, for example, the whole V thing. Now, I'm inspired by V for Vendetta.
Right.
Now, that is something I wanted to make into an actuality. I want to make it real. I am V. And when I get done doing what I'm doing, there will be another V. You know, V is a mantle. I really don't claim it as something that's mine that I created. It is the idea. I'm just wearing the mantle so someone else can wear it.
Right.
And hell, we can all wear it at the same time, really.
Right.
It's not really limited. But the thing is, I came up with my radio show, The Red Pill Hardcore, because I have always been inspired by that idea. And with everything happening to me, it was happening within a matrix. Some people can see what's going on. Some people can't. Some people are not allowed to say anything. Some people don't want to say anything. So there's several layers of programming. And it is a matrix that we live in. So I took that name to start my radio show. And taking the title of V and moving forward with this, it's like, okay, I'm in this a year. I'm in this a year and a half. 2 years, all of a sudden there's a Q anon. It's like, oh boy, yeah, they have to have something to put out there to take attention from the real movement. You know, I respect all those people who will think outside the box and will go out after something that's, you know, not the status quo. But Q's not saying anything that we don't already hear from anyone else. Q is not going to tell you the government has false flag terrorist programs, mind control programs, mind control technology. Q is not going to tell you that MK Ultra is still alive and well within the family court system and CPS. Q is not going to tell you anything about the esoteric. Q is just something that was put out there to get big. And then when people talk to me, you're a Q imitator. No, I predate Q by at least 2 years. I have a connection with you that is astounding. I'm really feeling you. But
do you want to know where Red Pill, Blue Pill actually was intended to be? Since you're Red Pill, I can tell you as the actual writer what Red Pill and Blue Pill was intended to be before it was cheapened. So Red Pill, like I'm saying, in their scene they have the two hands holding out the option of the Red Pill or Blue Pill. That's in my mind, that's dumb. It doesn't build a script. It doesn't build a story. It's just saying, okay, choose what you want, which seems kind of lame. In the actual work, the Red Pill, you don't have a choice. You take the, if you're selected and courted, because that comes from my life, like you know what you're saying, you get selected. If you're selected and courted, you have a choice to take the Red Pill. If you don't, your family dies. And it's like they put me in my own story. So there is no choosing Red Pill, Blue Pill. The Red Pill, you take it, or you die. Your family dies. So you take it and enter the program. Also, the Blue Pill is the bootleg drug, copy of the Red Pill, that the underground makes so they can enter the program, so they can live longer. But the side effects are painful, it's horrible, you age slowly, and agonizing at the same time. That's what Red Pill, Blue Pill was intended to be.
And that fits. That fits. You know, I say to friends all the time, you know, and people I know ask someone about something, oh, well, Trump will take care of it. Oh, wow, you're so blue-pilled. You know, and it's, you know, for just as an example. But what I was going to say is that I believe in what you're saying so much. I would like to get with you and sort of make a documentary with you.
I'm a documentarian. Oh my gosh, I'd love that. I would absolutely, absolutely love that.
I make documentaries. I have like 6 or 7 documentaries. I'm definitely willing to take on you as a partner for another one.
I'm in a heartbeat. Absolutely necessary. Besides making the film as is at some point, a documentary is absolutely necessary. Because the thing is, a lot of the attacks being done now, or, you know, the talk, they use talking points, as you know, to try to shoot you down. Now they're running, they're scraping the barrel. Now they're trying to say that it's so much material, he's all over the map, he's reading a script. That's their attack now. A writer with a lot of material, that's a good thing. And like, you know, was being said earlier, if you think in layers and if you're presenting your material and if you're being guided by questions, you're not following a script, you're actually answering the questions. And if you have the wherewithal to answer them and articulate them properly and have the evidence to back it up that critical thinkers can examine, that's why the movement's formed. That's why the wave is built. And that's why we have the website that shows it, that's been struck so many times, but now it's up. I would be honored, I would be thrilled to get with you to work on the documentary. There is so much here that's mind-blowing, so much that they are trying to run from, that they can't. That those graphics, I mean, how would you fake the first inserted graphic of the Matrix story with the exact, you know, the birthday, high school, dad's name? How would you fake that? I'd have to go to every single DVD and VHS and insert my information on it. And the interesting thing is, I would never have seen it if the insider from Warner Brothers hadn't told me that that was the first graphic and what was there and why it was there. So I'd be honored.
That's such great news. I know I'm hogging this interview, but guys, if you have anything you want to ask, go ahead.
Well, you want to know why they stuck my personal information in the first graphic according to the man that called me from Warner Brothers?
Oh, well, I know these people like to leave Easter eggs everywhere. They like to sign their work. And if somebody can be hung, that means someone else can be blackmailed. It's always planted plan A, B, C, and D's.
But, yes.
Please tell me your
leg up
your
on
reason.
Warner Brothers. You did it. Leg up on Warner Brothers. They wanted to have a card they could play because I'm the only one that would recognize it unless I'm told by somebody who can't stand the Wachowskis from inside Warner Brothers and a lot that don't. They can't stand them. They knew. They said it's common knowledge you're being ripped off throughout the whole organization. That was backed up by the guy who's a stuntman for Batman. Quentin is his name. He checked through Warner Brothers for us all. And he said, came back and said, it's common knowledge everywhere that they took it from you. But a lot of people can't stand the Wachowskis because it's not their work. The other reason that it's in there, Larry especially had the obsession with my age. He also hated me, was the word, hated, because he didn't understand the work. They thought they can make Matrix 1 and be done with it and save their career. So they mocked it on set. And there is clips where they're mocking the work and laughing and joking, not really serious about directing. But the thing is, they didn't think it would take off. So the suits come back and say, this was much popular than we thought it would be. You're going to do 2 and 3. So they actually have a Matrix 2 that they tried to write. They put my best friend Greg in it, who worked the battle sequences with me, to try to polish him. They put Gregory in it as the man who's made to be like a semi-clone of Neo that's supposed to come back and take him on. And it was so bad that they had to scrap it, postpone shooting, and go right to my script again in hand with a story treatment. That's why a storyboard. That's why there was the argument about blowing up the Matrix, which you'll see in articles and interviews happening on set.
Let's also briefly get into the Pat Robertson Disney connection too before we run out of time.
Absolutely. Okay, very good. Any specific question from it or just go?
Well, I mean, it kind of works as the genesis of why you wrote this too, which I think is pretty cool.
Okay, genesis, right. I was attending Pat Robertson's organization in 1987 to 1988. In 1988, he runs for presidency. He still says in his books that you can cite today that he was told, God told him he was going to win. Even though he lost, he still holds to the fact that he was going to win and God was going to have him win. He still holds to that. I'm blamed by his attorneys for throwing his world, basically being an antichrist. So the thing is that he was never going to let up on me. His people told me they're never going to stop. So what happened was I was attending his organization, his university, which at the time was called CBN University. I was getting high grades, A's, in a place where the attrition rate was about 50%. I was on cable programs. I was being approached and offered all kinds of positions. The reason being, there's a sex ring operating there. So I was one of the favored boys. Robertson also is part of that sex ring. Disney also has a sex ring, as was just revealed after we did interviews, and Bob Iger was calling to make a deal through his assistant. It's on my phone. And what happens is we did an interview talking about Disney's sex ring and Robertson's sex ring. Next thing we hear, purge at Disney, which you'll see the article of, where they got rid of the lower echelon pedophiles, but not the upper and middle management, obviously. And then what happens is Bob Iger's fired. He's trash. So all that, because we were making clear that Robertson and Disney have a coordinated sex ring, personnel traded back and forth. The way we know that is Ned and Judy Nankovich, a professor and a model agency manager, which I have the letters from them with the Disney letterhead and everything. They're on the East Coast with Robertson's organization, and then when I lose everything at Robertson's organization because of this sex ring, I didn't participate, but I was asked to go on a trip to D.C., Cherry Hill Park Campground, in a motorhome with Harry Sova, Dr. Harry Sova, who's now at Liberty University, a communications dean. He takes an interest in me because Robertson wants to groom me to be the face of the Christian Coalition. I'm moving up quickly. That's when they just piggyback you. So he wants me to be the blue-eyed, blonde-haired, dimpled guy that's going to be the spokes face for the Christian Coalition. With that comes a wife provided you, mansion, car, everything, all the perks. That's how they do it. So I'm being groomed, going to appear on the 700 Club. Dr. Sova takes an interest in me, takes me on a trip to do research on his manuscript, he said, at the Library of Congress. Instead, it's not what I thought it was. It turns out that he starts telling me he's gay, which is fine if he's gay. But the thing he says that only those students that stay with their professors or are involved with them are going to make it and their families. Otherwise, they're going down because Robertson's sex ring is going to be revealed. Well, it wasn't. And so when I get back from this horrific trip where he tried everything under the sun, and some things I don't want to mention right now, a little too emotional. When I got back, they had a meeting, and they told me to share everything that happened on the trip. Well, I thought it was a chance to, you know, I said, can I keep my jobs in education? They said, yes. And so I told them about what happened on the trip. But the pencil didn't move when it talked about what Sova did to me. The pencil moved when it talked about what he shared about Robertson's organization. As you can imagine, when I left that meeting being told I can continue with everything, I got a letter, and there was a gentleman waiting in the next room to craft a letter to Sova and to me. They contradicted. I have the Sova letter. So what happens is that one says he was guilty for what he did. Don't do it again. It's a repeat offender. He involved a student down in Disney World. That's where you go. That's predatory ground for them. Disney allows it. That's no surprise that they just had the article about the pedophiles there. And there's more, upper and middle management, all through it, just like Robertson's organization, where it goes all the way to the top. Robertson, yes, is gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay. But the thing is that he runs a militant gay, Sova explained, where they're going to use the church to get their agendas across, which is the militant side, which is the small fraction of that community. Most are good people. And so what happens is they are going to use that. Robertson doesn't believe in God. He believes in money. In fact, he got his start as socialite, trying to be socialized with Dee Dee, his wife, in Manhattan, New York. And what happened was a pastor came along and wined and dined them, had a nice car, nice clothes, nice meal. And Robertson basically quoted as saying, you mean you can have all this by doing that? That's when he wanted to be a televangelist. He doesn't care about it. In fact, in Robertson's perspective, he says that the evangelicals are one of the dumbest demographics in the world. Because he's trying to do that to prove it. Well, that's his power base. So what he's doing is he has a plan which is echoed in the ending of The Immortal Story and The Matrix, since the Wachowskis kept my ending, even though everybody said to blow it up. He reflects it also. Again, the Wachowskis got a strike against him. Robertson didn't want it in there. Robertson's plan to be interviewed on the man-made mountain in the east. He made a man-made mountain, Mount Trashmore. And that's to follow specifically Nostradamus' prediction. He did it on purpose because he wants to be an antichrist. That's what Robertson wants. He wants to have world power in a one-world society. That's his plan. He wants to be interviewed, having Christ return to him. That's where Hollywood steps in. It sounds completely implausible. It sounds completely nuts, but you're dealing with a sociopathic megalomaniac who actually thinks he can pull it off. There's actually been a sky experiment to see if you can get the sky to turn red and have sounds in it. It happened over Jerusalem. So that's what their plan is. Disney and Robertson are linked. So when all this happened to me, I decided to whisper through art. I rendered the scene. It came out when I thought it was perfected. And they started a series of first thing, Ned and Judy Nankovich from Robertson's organization gives me a call. Give us your script, Tom, or what you have so far. We'll get it to Disney. Because lo and behold, Judy just got coveted positions in the story development department of Disney and Universal both, which is Warner Brothers. Universal's with Warner Brothers. So that's Joel Silver and Eisner. Mike Lang. Harvey Weinstein. All set. And then when they didn't have enough understood, they gave it to Bonaventura through a student at Robertson's organization, Nadia Santino, just called me tonight. And I was submitted through her father-in-law, Lenny Coco, who's best friends with Bonaventura at Warner Brothers, Lorenzo D., who on Wikipedia still says he discovered and shepherded the Matrix story and is one of the few that understands it. So there you go. So what I did was I tried to whisper through art Robertson's crazy plans, and I didn't think anybody in our time would get it. Fortunately, I'm talking to you now and doing interviews a lot now. Love to do the documentary because now I can speak it. Now I can speak it, and I think I paid my dues. I've lost enough and suffered enough that I'm going to let my voice be heard. My son and I decided, yes, Dad, let's go forward. Let's finish this. And now I'm told by contacts that we've won the chess game, they call it, because word out means that we've been heard and it's going to keep my son safe. They won't do anything now. Now we're considered assets. Because our real-life story is worth a fortune. That's why they just ran the Richard Jewell story at Warner Brothers to do a test run to see if our story would be plausible or audiences would like it. And that's why they did Richard Jewell, Warner Brothers specifically. That's also why they're racing forward Matrix 4, because the Wachowskis know they're in trouble. They're not like Warner Brothers or other places. They're seen as a maverick, arrogant, broke the rules, revealed the cartel now. But what's happening is they're racing forward to make Matrix 4, be famous through it before we come forward and do, say, a documentary or get the real-life film made. We can capitalize the last deal on it.
Yes. Well, I don't just talk out of my ass. I would really love to make a documentary with you, and we can get together and go through all that. But before we do that, I would love it if you watched all my documentaries so you know my style. And you know, okay. I'm a man that I know what I'm talking about. You know, you've asked me a couple questions here, and I've answered them exactly as you were going to answer them as well. I know these things. I know psychological warfare, you know. Mm-hmm. There's so many styles these people use, and snake style is the best that they use. And I learned how to use that just to think how they think. And there's just nothing these people can hide from me. I know the truth when I hear it, and I know... I know. I'm red pilled. I know.
Right. I can't believe red pill actually took off, by the way. I'll just say this. I can't believe red pill and blue pill meant something. I was picking that as a writer, just going like, when I did it, I thought, I'll just do this because this will make sense for how people get in the program. I didn't think it would mean anything to anybody. I really didn't. I'm still shocked and surprised. It's such a big thing in our world. I'm glad it means something. I'm glad you made it mean something too, but I'm surprised as a writer that it actually caught on.
Well, my friend, we are going to have to stay in touch, and I would definitely like to collaborate with you early. I would like to jump on this thing.
I'm in.
As you said, these people.
I'm in. I want to jump on it too. The racing makes us more forward. I want to jump on it now. So I will definitely. You call me. I'll talk.
Yeah, before they make this Matrix 4, absolutely, I would love to. I would love to, you know, take a dump in these people's cereal.
Oh, this will do it. You put these inserts that you see on redpillrising.org in a documentary, then people have the license to believe it. It can't be denied. It's in all the film, the Animatrix clock face, and there's more. You put this in a documentary, they're going to brown their pants. They're going to lose it. Everything has been trying to not have us heard, and now are being heard. That's why the contact, you can hear it on tape, saying that's what caused you to win the chess game. That's what kept your son alive. Wow.
Well, I and now they claim your contact information, my friend. Do you have somewhere where people can reach you online and show you support?
Yes, I'm even giving out my phone number. I'm giving out phone number, website. I want to be transparent. I'm doing away with the idea of stars and stuff like that. We are all equal. We're all just human beings trying to make it up the hill. And that is it. So I give out everything. Whatever you want, I give it out.
Well, let's do your email and maybe your social network profile.
There you go. Okay, so I can be found on Facebook. Yes, I still use Facebook, whatever vehicle's available. But redpillrising.org is the website. That has definitive proof right there. The copyright entries they put as Immortals Without a Body of Work in the extra titles I talked about with their names on the bottom. It's all there.
Okay.
Do you have an
email?
Yes. The email is the same as the website with an extra. It's Red Pill Rising, same thing, but my initials, TPA. It's like Thomas Park. You can say Anderson. Thomas Park, A. And
Thomas,
then what you have
I want to thank you. We've run out of time, exactly out of time. Okay. I want to thank you for being guest on the show. And sure. I want to say to my audience, thank you for tuning in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.